I would like to give you today is actually not my message. I thought really appropriate to use the sermon in French given by Mr. James Muir. I know that some of you in this room know Mr. James Muir. He's a longtime pastor. He pastored France. He was actually my first pastor in 1982. I think for this time of the year is very, very appropriate. Here is it. What is behind a name? What is behind your name? Is a name really important? The answer is yes. A name is important. For God, a name is important. To the point that already the third commandment speaks of respect for the name that is above all names. And if for God a name is important, then for us as well, it should be important. In this world, there is less and less respect. When we use someone's name, how do we talk about it? What do we associate with this person when we talk about him or her? And yes, it can be a real challenge sometimes to talk about someone famous in a Christian way. God gave the third commandment, and he gave it two times in the Bible. We heard it in the split sermon of Mr. Chris Lydon in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Today I would like to point out some aspects of this commandment so that we can improve or secure our practice of this commandment. A name is synonymous of certain things. When we use the name of God, it compels us to think before we speak about him, about the nature of God. It compels us, hopefully, to have a respect, a fear, a reverence of his position, and to be grateful to him. The title of this split sermon is Honoring the Name of God. Honoring the Name of God. From the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, there is something we should take note of in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11. We can keep our finger there because we will turn a few times back to this short verse. Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is the copy of the law which is given in Exodus, but sometimes given in a different way. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11, God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." The word "the Lord" is the Hebrew tetragrammaton. Yes, I managed to say it. YHWH. The name of God, sometimes translated by the Eternal. The name of our Creator. The Lord God of eternity. For us who are living just a limited number of years on this earth, we do speak carefully about the name of God. He is the Eternal, the God of eternity, who has no beginning of days. What a glorious attribute, impossible to fathom for our simple, limited human brain. Therefore, as we speak about God, we do not want to take his name in vain. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, shortly before the New Testament. This is actually the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. And we will start to read in verse 10. The reputation of God is absolutely tremendous. Compared to God, we human beings, we are almost nothing. We are just a breath, and then we vanish, we disappear. Now, even though we are so weak, we do have a reputation as well. Every human being has a reputation. George Washington and the founding fathers have a reputation. Many books were written about them. More generally, when one talks about someone we know, there are things which immediately come to mind about this person because of his or her reputation. It can be a reputation that was attributed unfairly. That can happen. But you know, most of the time it's not. There might be a deal of truth in what we hear about that person. Likewise, all of us, we do have a reputation. And God also has a tremendous reputation. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10, if you would. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, "Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Why is that? Because his reputation is great. Because his name is great. He goes on to say, verse 12, "But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, 'Oh, what a weariness,' and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished." In other words, we see that if we do not pay attention, we can take the name of God in vain, either in words, in what we say, or even here, as we read, in deeds, in what we do. Verse 14, God says, "For I am a great king," actually this is not the verse, oh yes, it is the verse 14, but this is just the second part. Verse 14, second part, "For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." Malachi chapter 2, let's continue the reading. Malachi chapter 2, but let's drop down to verse 4, if you would. Malachi 2, verse 4. "Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts." Verse 5. "My covenant was with him, and one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name." Take note of this. He was reverent before the name of God. "And because he was, so to speak, afraid, Levi was very careful when he spoke of the name of God." The name that he used, the Hebrew word that he used, implied three things. It implied honor, it implied authority, and it implied character. Three things. When God reveals himself through his names, God reveals who he is, and he reveals these three things: his honor, his character, and his authority. When we talk about a man in history, a well-famous person, We talk about what he likes, what, I mean, his tastes, his character, his talents, the different characteristics of who he is, a certain amount of information about him. And we can learn more about this person. There is a lot of things, a lot of websites who can talk about famous person of history. Some families have prestigious names, values. Well, it still exists today. A descendant can honor or dishonor the name of his family. Heroes, military personnel, by their sacrifice, can bring a lot of honor to the name of their fathers. But also, very ordinary people can do the same thing by the example they give to others every day, in their everyday life. God speaks a lot about his name. Why? Because it is very important for him and for us. And that's important to us because it can have also consequences in our lives. Some famous qualities come to mind when one thinks of God's character. His goodness, his mercy. And if someone does not know much about the character of God, well, one can learn more in the Bible. God is holy. In Ezekiel chapter 36, he says, for instance, "My holy name." A name is way more than just a word. Nowadays, many words are diminished, so to speak. You know, the pure sense of certain words has become tarnished after generations, generations after generations. God does not take his name lightly. And the purity of his name has been preserved through his word. God has many names. We read of the Lord, the Most High. Each of his names refers to an aspect of the character of God. There is also the God of all the earth, the God of glory, the God of all consolation, a wonderful aspect of the character of God. We read also the God of perseverance. He is fully persevering because his name says it. The God of love and peace in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Why is that? Because this is the very character of God. God is majestic. God reigns in his splendor. In Psalm chapter 72, let's turn there if you would. Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and verse 18. What we read here is a chorus. This is a refrain. This is an important sentence that comes back along the song. Psalm 72 and verse 18. "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things." Verse 19, "And blessed be his glorious name forever." The name of God is just not any name. It is a glorious name. And this is our responsibility, to keep the value of his name when we use it. And verse 19, "And let the whole earth be filled with his glory." God is supreme in the universe. He has a plan that goes beyond the imagination. His name has many facets, like a precious stone. And if we use the name of God, we must do it in a way that does not deny the meaning and the character of God. That does not, you know, lower, that does not diminish the character of God, its fullness. Psalm 66, that's not very far away, a few pages before. Psalm 66 and verse 2. You know, in in our church services we sing, or even at home. And in Psalm 66 and verse 2 here we read, 66 verse 2, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. God has chosen in the past a people. He has set apart a special people. And God expected a certain number of things from his people. Here we read of a reproach from God. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 1. Isaiah 48 and verse 1. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord. So they did use in the past the name of God. Verse 1 still, and make mention of the God of Israel. That's what they did. But, and here is the reproach, not in truth or in righteousness. So they did not talk about God properly. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 8. So here we have a better idea of the importance that God gives to his name. And if he does so, he wants us to do it as well. We must also give importance to the name of God. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. The name of God is so important that he did not want his name to be touched or scorned. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. God was even thinking of acting against his people. Verse 9, but I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Yes, the name of God is very, very important to him. God need not want his name to suffer from any bad reputation. In the book of Psalms, there is an idea of the importance of the name of God, and we read in it the right way to speak of God. Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. And let's turn to verse 6, if you would. Psalms 25 and verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. And other versions say, they are eternal. They are eternal. Let's drop down to verse 11. David says, and David knew that God is a God of mercy, is a God of goodness, that God forgives. Verse 11, David says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Now, David was recognizing his sins before God. And he knew that God was going to forgive him because of his name. You know, when we consider it, when we think about it, this is very constructive. This is very positive. Another name of God is El Shaddai in Genesis chapter 17. El Shaddai means Almighty God. In Psalms chapter 8, we see here a link between God and his power of creation. God is almighty, and he does what he wants. He does what he wants with his strength. God is the creator. So Psalms chapter 8, and let's read verse 3 through 6. David here looks up above and he says, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." There is a purpose for mankind, and God does it. God realizes it. Although the man is very small, and it's true, we are not much, yet God wants him and her to have access to eternal life. He wants us to have access to eternal life. You know, during a beautiful summer night, there is a great deal of pleasure just to watch a clear sky and gaze at the stars. All the attributes of God's character, his power, his authority, and also his goodness, his mercy, his reputation, his fame. These are all the things that must come to our mind when we hear and when we use the name of God. For these reasons, God gives us this third commandment, and he tells us once again in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11, you don't need to turn there unless you have your finger there, Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 11, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." You know, we read the word vain. What does that mean exactly? Take in vain. Well, the Hebrew tells us this is the Hebrew word shav, S-H-A-V. And this is an interesting word. What is vain, according to this word, is what is empty, or even what is false. The two things. It's a lie. And you can check for yourself in verse 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20, speaking about the commandment about bearing bearing false witness. The word false is exactly the same. This is the word shav. Vain or a lie. False is the same word, like vain, empty or false. There is something that is serious that can take refuge in our thoughts. When we do something and we start to say or we start to think, God will understand. We cannot just talk like this. It touches, you know, the reputation of God, his honor, his glory, what he stands for, what he represents, his character, his justice, the fame of his name. Saying or thinking this is disrespectful. Now, we should not be afraid to use the name of God. That's not what I'm saying. But I would like to give warnings of danger in relation to the third commandment so that we put ourselves on guard. And hopefully that will help us to understand this short commandment better. First sign of danger: false biblical predictions. In Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 14, I will not get there, but you can read it. Certain prophets prophesied in his name, the name of the Lord, and they said lies. We do not say false prophecies or false forecasts. Second sign of danger, false personal predictions. You know, when we say, God willing, well, we can say God willing, we can say that. There is nothing bad with that. But there is one thing we must be sure about. We must be sure that we know what we are saying. We must be aware of what we say. So let us think of what we say instead of, you know, maybe saying something in a mechanical way, something out of habit, or even sometimes maybe cover ourselves with some kind of a religious coating. We must be convinced when we use this expression, God willing. I would like just to mention one verse, James chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, when we say God willing, let us be convinced that this is the will of God that counts first in our lives, not what we want, but what God wants. Well, let's read that verse. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you have to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live or do this or that. So we need to remember that. Sign of danger number 3, a bad behavior. Matthew chapter 21, verse 30. You know, this is when our behavior does not follow through, when we do not behave the way we should. How can one then say that we glorify God in our actions? And consequently, yes, we may take the name of God in vain. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 30. This is the parable of the two sons. I will start in the middle, but you can read the whole thing for yourself at home. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. So if you remember, that was about somebody who was asked to go to the vineyard. So this one is said, I go, sir, but he did not go. So the first one basically was said, I wouldn't go. Sorry, I should probably read from the beginning. And finally he went. He regretted it, verse 29, and he went. The second one said, I go, sir, but he didn't go. So which of the two did the will of his father? Yeah. How do we glorify God in our actions? So, if we need to have the good decision, we need to act according to what we say, or we take the name, otherwise we take the name of God in vain. Sign of danger number 4. Sign of danger number 4. Vain words. These are happening when we repeat empty words or words that are useless and do not build up the body of Jesus Christ. For example, if we always use the same sentence, a sentence that is, so to speak, meaningless because it has lost its substance, its weight, its impact. It's an habit, the habit of using it in our conversations, and it's just not as significant as it used to be. So remember what we have seen: vain words, empty words, or lies. This is what the Hebrew language teaches us. Sign of danger number five. Sign of danger number five: our manner of directly speaking of God. God's reputation can be simply touched by our way of speaking directly of God. Our way of speaking about God must go hand in hand with all what God represents. With fear, our way of revering the name of God. All of this is the fact of not taking the name of God in vain. In other words, to simply and sincerely observe the third commandment. So, five signs of danger. We have seen the danger. We have seen the danger signs. What not to do. Now, let's see something else. Let's see what we can positively do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And this is the model prayer that Jesus Christ gave. And he starts out with something. The first thing he's mentioning, he says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, in this manner therefore pray, and here is the beginning of the prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First thing mentioned, Christ our Lord has sanctified the name of his Father. He has shown him respect, a great deal of respect for his Father. And within the model prayer, this is the first commitment being expressed here. A desire on our part that the name of God would be sanctified. And this is the meaning of the word to sanctify, to set apart for a pure purpose. In other words, one does not use it as one uses another name. This is a special name. There is an obvious notion of veneration, of obedience, of respect, of honor, which is dedicated to God. A willingness, a determination, even never to speak evil of God. You know, one day people who are sometimes using the word of God, the name of God, in a wrong way, they will know the plan of God. And after the resurrection, humanity will be able to see what the life of Christians, your life, my life, was when we too were humans. And people will understand what it is to sanctify the name of God. Luke chapter 1. We have the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Let's go there. She had a beautiful prayer. And she says, praying, my soul magnifies the Lord. This is our first commitment as well. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She was aware about God's greatness, and that is why she praised his name. Psalm 66, verse 2, I think we have read it already. It says, sing the glory of his name. This is something that has weight. This is something that has significance. And you know, this is the opposite of emptiness. It must not be vain. It must not be empty. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just as we recognize, you know, that the Sabbath is holy, we pay a close attention to what we do during the Sabbath. We try, we do everything that we can do to keep it holy, as God asks us to do so. In the same manner, we take care about the name of God who is holy. We consider the name of God as holy, just as we consider the Sabbath as being holy. So we must be careful when we use the name of God in the presence of anyone. In the presence of anyone. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 12. Well, let's begin verse 11. Verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Verse 12, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." The Gentiles, or if you would, the unbelievers, they will notice your conduct, they will notice my conduct, they will not necessarily understand, but one day they will. They will understand why we were different, why we respect this third commandment, not to take the name of God in vain. They will see by then the power of God, and they will recognize and acknowledge one day why we honor the name of God.